And so at that point, the National Farm Workers Association was not yet on strike.
No, they were not yet on strike.
Okay. So, but they did go on strike eventually.
Yes, they did. So that was that. The time that we walked out on strike was probably about, I'm not really sure, but it was probably about that, maybe the 11th or 12th of September, when we walked out and we went there.
Were you present when the National Farm Workers Association?
Yes, Caesar had told us, they had told us to go home and they would be calling us. And to let us know when there was going to be a meeting. And so there were leaflets that were done and passed out different places, different towns, and calling the meeting at the Lady of Guadalupe Church Hall on Clinton Street in Delano. And so it was in the evening, about 7 p.m.
Were there many people?
Lots. Oh, it was full to capacity. It was people outside, people inside. Up above the church hall, there's offices or rooms up there, and so they were all full up there too. It was filled up to the top, and people outside, lot. Oh, yeah, several hundred, lots and lots. I thought there were lots and lots. There was, and then Caesar came out and spoke. And then different people spoke about, joining with the Filipinos. Some were against, some were for. The man that stands out most in my mind is Epifanio Camacho, who got up and spoke very well. Epifanio had been a member of the union since 1963, and he had walked out on strike at different Rose Company ranches before. And I think that there was also a ranch that had walked out on strike, Martin Ranch or something like that, where he had walked out on strike. And so he spoke and he, in support of the Filipino strike, and said that we should strike. And so then they took a vote, and we voted unanimously.
What kind of a vote was it?
Just by raising our hands and yelling. People were yelling and raising our hands.
But it was obvious that people were...
They were ready to go,
Well, all right. So now they called a strike in the grapes. What role did you have?
Well, we didn't go on strike. We didn't go out and picket right away. There was... it was a couple of days before we let the notice out and all this that we had voted to walk out on strike. There had to be picket captains assigned to the different towns. In our town, Gilbert Padilla was assigned to Early Mart. And we were assigned to meet at my mother-in-law's house. We met there at her house at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so the people... In Early Mart, we're advised to go and meet there, to go in their cars there at a certain time, and then we'd go all out in caravan out to the different fields to go and pick it.
But you would meet at 3 a.m.?
Uh-huh. At 3 a.m. and then just be there and having our coffee and all that. And then we'd, after everybody, whoever was going to turn up, then we'd go out in caravan and out to the...
But where did you go?
To the fields. The first place that we saw workers... this was probably about 4:30. Was around Early Mart. Was at Paglerulo Ranch, so that's where we parked at Paglerulo Ranch, and that's where we were. I remember Victor Urandi on top of a truck, the flatbed of a truck. Manuel Urandi, Tony Mendez, Gustavo Espinosa. They were all on top of the truck. In fact, that first day they were jailed. They landed up in jail in Pixley.
Why did that happen?
Because they were yelling. Because they were yelling, Welga, and yelling to the workers to come out in support of the strike.
And they were arrested because they were...
They were arrested, There was nothing else going on. They were arrested because of that. And so then Then the following day, we went back to the same ranch, and then pretty soon there were dogs. They were, it wasn't the police yet. I think they had some sort of the security guard with big dogs that were there.
German Shepherd dogs. Uh-huh.
And then blaring their horns. They had bull horns and blaring them at us. As if we yelled out to the workers to come out on strike to join with us, then they'd blare what do you call those?
Megaphones.
Yeah, the megaphones. And so we went around the areas, and there were different people, different captains assigned to the different towns, McFarland, Early Mart, Delano, all the areas around. And so I kept on going out to the picket lines. Then we'd go, let's see, mostly we weren't meeting. Then we weren't meeting at the office in Delano at 102 Albany. That didn't come till later on when we got the assigned manual. We used to have we had bought a 1965 Ford, and Caesar assigned Manuel, my husband Manuel Urandi, to go out and be the scout car. They put a large antenna on it. There were some. There was a radio, switchboard radio, something that we used to call into the, what was it, a car phone? And then Manuel would advise everybody that was there waiting at the 102 Albany office where there were workers. And people would be assigned to go to the different ranches where Manuel had given them the sites.
Did you have picket signs?
Yes.
Did you make your own picket signs?
Yes, uh-huh. People made their own picket signs.
What did the sign say?
Join the strike.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there was one time that I was out there, and Dolores was out there picketing, and I don't know why, but then she had an idea that she would stick me into the office, the membership office, so that she could be more out there organizing and picketing and all this.
What, because her job was in the membership?
Mm-hmm. She was in charge of the membership department at the 102 Albany office. And so she asked me, and I said, I know nothing about office work. I mean, how am I going to do this? Oh, she told me what to do and all this. And so so that's where I wound up. Working for the NFWA in the membership department. And that was I wasn't out on the picket lines that long, because they assigned me sometime in October. I was already in the membership department.
Well, what was your work in the membership department?
Keeping track of the records. People would come and pay their dues, and so I'd make a receipt for them, take their money, bank it, post their dues to their card. That was my assignment at first, and then afterwards I started learning a lot of stuff, and so then I did different things.
I see. Well, now were you ever arrested on the picket line?
We were arrested in October, late October of 1965. Caesar called us to had a meeting with us, with some of the women, and asked if we were ready to get arrested. Fina Hernandez, Josephine Rodriguez, Vera Oropesa, Mercy Peña. First he met with me and Helen, Helen Chavez and I. And then later on he met with the others.
Helen Chavez was Caesar's wife.
Yes. And he met with us, and he asked if we were ready to get arrested. And so we said, well, yes, we're out on the picket line, so, you know. So then he explained what we were going to do. And so we were out there just, I believe it was Morris, I don't know if it was Morris Fruit Company, I think it was. And we were not too far from Delano. And we were out there. There were 44 of us, the 44 that were jailed. No, there were 13 women. All the rest were priests, nuns, and men, the husbands, I remember. Oh, my mother-in-law, Frances Urandi, also was jailed.
Well, what caused you to be jailed? What?
We were out there and we were yelling, just yelling, huelga. Huelga, huelga, come and join us. And that's all that we were yelling. And they told us to disperse. I remember the word disperse. And we didn't. And then they said that if we didn't disperse, then we would be arrested. So we kept on yelling. We didn't walk away or anything. And so then they called in a paddy wagon. Paddy wagon came in. We didn't all fit in the paddy wagon, so there was a car. So it was a paddy wagon and a car. And they took us to the Delano jail. We didn't fit, wasn't big enough for all of us. So we were sent to Bakersfield, to the jail in Bakersfield.
You in the paddy wagon?
No. We were in the car.
The car. Mm-hmm. Police car.
The police car. So we were taken to Bakersfield, and we were booked. We were photographed and fingerprinted, and they put us in jail. And
charged you on what charges?
Failing to disperse. Mm-hmm. Failing to disperse was a charge that lasted for, let's see, 5 years, I guess, postponing it. We never went to court. They just kept, Alex Hoffman. That was his name, the attorney, no, Alex Hoffman. And he just kept on postponing the court, the trial, until they just dismissed it. But we were in jail for 3 days. We refused to come out on bail. Well, I don't know where they were going to get the bail because there was no money. But we refused, and so we were all of us, the 13 women were in one cell.
Were there 13 beds?
There were 13 beds. Huh? There were cots and there were upstairs, one after one, piled. Three, I think.
How many days were you in jail?
Three. We were 3 days in jail. And when we
Have
were...
you ever been in jail before?
No. No, I had never been in jail before. None of us had ever been in jail before. We just sat around and smoked in the cell and talked, and you know, and they brought us food. But then one of the trustees, a black lady that was in jail. I remember that her name was, she introduced herself to Helen. She became very good friends with Helen Chavez. Her name was Dovey. And she would bring us extra, she would bring Helen extra bread. Because she thought we weren't being fed enough. And so we were there, the cell next to us, some of the other women that were in that cell were banging and banging on the door, on the wall, saying, "You're in the news, you're in the news." And so, you know, they were all excited. They were more excited. I mean, well, we weren't excited, but they were excited that we were in the news.
How did they know you were in the news?
Pardon me?
How did they know you were in the news?
I don't know. I don't know if they had TV or not, or there was TV. Yes, there was TVs. I guess they had a television. We didn't have a television in our cell.
But they had a television.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're in the news, you're in the news. And then at the same time, it was then that Caesar was in Berkeley. When we were arrested, Caesar was in Berkeley, and he made a speech saying that 44 people have just been arrested in Delano. So that was big news. And then the daycare, we had the daycare center where some of our children used to be at the daycare center. So they arranged to take the kids to the jail, to Bakersfield, to the jail. And they were outside the jail and they were singing, Ain't afraid of no jail, but I want my mommy, I want my mommy. I want my mommy, ain't afraid of no jail, but I want my mommy. I want my mommy now. And so that was big news again, too.
Yes.
Would you believe that you mentioned that Cesar Chavez was in Berkeley giving a speech in the square there at the University of California? And I was with him when he made that announcement.
Oh, really?
That Helen and the women, his wife and the women strikers had been arrested in Delano. They took up a huge collection.
Yeah.
The students did.
The students did. And that was how we started getting a lot of people coming?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that.
Well, how did you get out? What happened?
Well, I guess we weren't bailed out. We had done the 3 days, so I guess they just let us out.
Uh-huh. For time served, I guess.
Huh? I guess so. I never knew that. I never talked to the attorney, so I don't know. I know is that.
Were you frightened at all?
Frightened? No, not at that time. It was something different. So, but I wasn't frightened. It was just us there, just all the women. We were being rowdy. We were rowdy and telling a lot of stories and in the jail. We wouldn't sleep all night. We'd just be, you know, just talking away and laughing and all this. And so some of the volunteers that had come in to help, I think there were about four of them. I don't remember their names. Actually, I don't know why I don't remember their names, but they were upset at us because we wouldn't sleep. Go to sleep already. And we wouldn't go to sleep. We'd just be talking and laughing and
You were part of the movement, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Gee, that's interesting. So after you got out of jail, then of course you went back to the. I mean, you
went back to the membership department. Just continued on work. We used to work nights. Is what happens that we used to work nights, being there at the office till all hours of the night, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, doing mailings. Mailings to get money. And I don't know where we got the names, you know. Yeah, because of the strike, because we needed money. And so I don't know. I don't remember where we got the names. I didn't know anything. You know, where do we get the names to send out all these mails, all these letters?
But what was your work?
Stuffing the envelopes and addressing them and all this stuff.
What, hundreds?
Mm-hmm.
Thousands?
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
And we were, Helen and I would be there till all hours of the night. I remember, we always used to work so late hours all the time. And then we'd go home and, I remember I would go home, then Manuel, I used to come from Early Mart because I used to live in Early Mart, and we'd leave late, and then we'd come early in the morning, and I had to come with Manuel all the time because I didn't have a car. Well, actually, I didn't really drive that well, and so I didn't. We only had our car because it wasn't too long after that that we weren't getting any money at all, no money at all, and so my in-laws had just built a house. They had bought a house with an old house, but they had built a new house, tore down the house. And so they weren't making the payments. They were already behind. So they had to leave and go work elsewhere. A lot of people left during the early part of the strike because they weren't making it and they were losing their homes. And they didn't return back to the vines. They didn't return to, you know, to go pick grapes or anything like that. They went outside the area and worked in other crops. And so that's what my in-laws did at that time. And my mother-in-law had told me for us to continue, that she would take care of my kids while I was. Because she felt bad because they had to leave, the strike.
And so she took charge of your children.
Yes, she took charge of my children. But I would, when I left the office, and then we would come home. Then we'd go to my mother-in-law's, pick up my kids, and then the three kids, and then bring him back to, and Juliana was a baby. Well, she was 2 years old.